Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey, it's me, your dad. Before you go and have fun in the sun here on Labor Day weekend, make sure you put sunscreen on and queue up an episode of this podcast. Before we continue my first ever journey through the Harry Potter series, just a few quick announcements. First, it is the first episode of Potterless in September, meaning that it is donation time. Here at Potterless, we donate $1 for every member of our team over at patreon.com/potterless to a different charity. And at the time of recording, we have 867 patrons, meaning that we'll be donating $867 to the Rainforest Trust. So obviously, if you been watching the news, there's some wildfires going through the Amazon rainforest. And though rainforest wildfires happen every now and then, some of these are man-made, and it is far more so than usually happens, so donating to the Rainforest Trust just made sense for this month. Since 1988, they have saved over 23 million acres of land, and in 2018 alone, they protected 1.28 billion trees, 125 threatened mammal species, and 79 threatened bird species. If you want to learn more about this charity, you can head on over to rainforesttrust.org. Also, we're only about a month away from Potterless and Multitude live in Boston. On October 10th, Multitude will be doing a live show at City Space in Boston. If you want more information about the show and get tickets, you can head to multitude.production/live. And that weekend, Friday through Sunday, immediately after, I will be at LeakyCon Boston. It is official. There's going to be Potterless Live. It should be on Friday unless the schedule changes. So if you are planning on going to LeakyCon for just one day and you want that day to be the Potterless day, Friday is your day. But ideally, I will be doing events throughout the entire weekend. Those haven't been announced yet, but I'll be sure to keep you posted in future podcast intros. And speaking of bright futures, we have new patrons to welcome to the team. So shout out to Messes95, Selena Ellerman, Cassie10Kate, Ashley Jade, Natasha Slatton, Josie Appleyard, Inbar Lorber, Aura Miranda, Sarah Heath, Zoe Jones, Helen Fredstam, Rachel, and someone who made their patron name something that is so offensive that I can't bring myself to say it. So instead, I will just say, quote, I love basketball. A name correction for Carbon Corvid, a pronunciation correction for Lior Nahum, shout out to Callie Boldler and Laura Vorwald who upgraded their pledge, and a producer correction for Ashton Gabrielson, whose name I forgot to say the past couple weeks. Shout out to our new producer level patrons, Courtney, Victoria McCormick, Hannah Zeters, and Marique Rieger. They join the ranks of Vicky, Aaron, Jesse, Natalie, Clau, Frank, Marchismo, Samantha, Juan, Abid, Rosemarie, Marie, Lisa, Romina, Kamale, Russell, Audra, Eleanor, Sydney, Rossanne, Nikita, Taylor, Ali, Amelia, Sean, Sarah, Ben, Rachel, Zachary, Orchid, Vivian, Takari, Haley, Moster, Angelina, Ross, Marie, Alex, Brian, Caitlin, Grace, Raul, Ingen, Mari, Alex, John, Noel, Tao, Emily, Robin, Will, Liz, Mariah, Brandon, Sarah, Claire, Gloria, Sarah, Patrick, Alicat, Hallie, Veronica, Kevin, Lotta, Noah, Tracy, Colleen, Jennifer, Friday, Ivor, Naomi, Tyler, Summer, Heather, Vera, Kerry, Andrea, Ella, Anthony, David, Elisa, Lynn, Cameron, Justin, Christine, Jacob, Toothless, Maya, Mark, Polly, Srujaneta, Tumnus, Remy, Matt, Sarah, Nona, Zena, Colleen, Harlan, Sheldorp, Noelia, Addie, Brian, Jenny, Nikki, Kara, Dorcas, Courtney, Kine, Amanda, Sabrina, Alicia, Kafir, Lindy, Martha, Benjamin, Skymart, Sarah, Peter, Yash, Marta, Stephanie, Justine, Aaron, CJ, Eileen, Violet, Kat, Lindsay, Fielding, Keegan, Miranda, Gail, Mr. Folk, Heather, Adam, Christina, Maya, Zachary, Kieran, Heaven, Callahan, Christy, Lily, Wire Warrior, Floor, Siri, Georgia, Vile, Itzel, Mitch, Al, Topher, Peter, Candy, Skyla, Edil, Kelsey, Ellie, Professor Threat, Kelly, Alubin, Maleo, Lena, Daniel, Rebecca, Lee, Elizabeth, Abby, Lika, Michael, Earmuffs, Kara, Tiffany, Kelly, Nadia, Andrea, Courtney, Sparklecat, Carrie, Jamie, Lissy, Camilo, Connie, Janet, Mary, Imo, Malin, Anastasia, Jaden, Nedry, Matt, Riley, Will, Zephyr, Artemis, Alubin, Maleo, Brett, Connor, Samantha, Kayla, Lauren, Aurora, Emma, Hermione, Lior, Megan, Out of Context, Liam, Milena, Marcos, Ella, Steam Nuggets, Can't I Butter? And yes, I can! Who never leave pizza in the broiler too long, so much so that the bottom becomes burnt and you don't want to eat that piece of pizza. If you want to be like one of these amazing patrons and get access to bonus episodes, exclusive live streams, my notes, you can head on over to patreon.com/potterless. But without further ado, let's get into episode 91 of Potterless, the second look back episode covering episode 7 through 12 of Potterless. Guest starring a whole lot of people. Hello, Internet, and welcome back to to another episode of Potterless, the tale of a grown man who read 7 children's novels in 3 years. My name is Mike Schubert. I'm that grown man, and we are continuing a look back through Potterless, my fun version of a reread. And now we move on to episodes 7 and 8, which covered chapters 1 through 8 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. And I'm joined by the guest from that episode, Amanda McLaughlin. Amanda,
it's me.
How's
wow.
it going?
2 eps in a row.
Multitude CEO, Amanda McLaughlin.
At least in these episodes.
The fancy air horn.
At least in these episodes of Potterless, you knew the name of spirits and had listened to an episode.
Oh, that's very
so
good.
That
Look
feels
at the
much
progress.
Better. I know, we're getting there. And then soon we'll be like, yeah, man, multi's a thing.
So yes, listening back to these episodes, what nuggets and gems did you find?
Let me tell you, full of nugs, Mike, as I know
Were they
Azkaban
steamed
is.
Nuggets?
They're the hottest of nugs.
Okay.
They're double chicken fried nugs.
Ooh.
So first of all, this is where I told you about the existence of Quidditch Through the Ages.
I talked
about there being those two like skinny follow-up
right,
books to
yeah.
the main series. Didn't mention Quidditch by name, but I feel like it was just like an omen, like the Grimm in front of us, as I was like, oh no, and soon he will read it.
At this point, I was anti-Quidditch.
Very firmly.
You
did
quick...
acknowledge my worldview and was like, that's a thing. I understand. Quidditch sucks. And I was like, oh, fair. Okay. Here we are.
It's very mature of Mike from a couple years ago.
Yes. We also meet Bill Weasley, and you were like, but the Weasleys are the best family, I think. And I was like, mm-hmm, that's exactly true.
Was it at this point that I made fun of him for working at the bank or not yet?
No.
Okay.
Well, yeah, no, not yet. Mm-hmm. No.
That's a future thing.
Yes.
And that's when we get to that look back. Whatever episode that was, I want to defend myself.
I'm curious to hear your defense. Mm-hmm. But I think we saw the picture of Ron and his family in Egypt, and they were like, oh, yeah, visiting Bill.
Right.
And I was like, Mike, Bill, the hottest Weasley. that was the brunt of it.
He's so cool.
Extremely good. I also have some highlights of me.
Ooh, good.
I called a spell a magical algorithm.
Ooh.
Like I forgot the word spell and said magical algorithm, which was extremely funny. I also, in episode nine, was like channeling McGonagall and was like, boom, I'm a cat. And I just thought it was great.
That's so good.
And then I was making fun of Harry and said, I've got a death omen on my forehead. Like death omens and tea leaves mean nothing to me, lady.
Ooh, yeah, that is good. That's definitely something Harry would bust out.
But past me and my successes, I was also disappointed. J.K. Rowling's fat phobia is a lot less tolerable to me now than it was reading it through the first time where I was just dipping in, reading a couple chapters, being like, J.K. Rowling, whatever, okay. Mm-hmm. But hearing it again and again over every single book and every single encounter with the Dursleys is like, ugh, enough.
Because it's not just the Dursleys. I get that the Dursleys were supposed to be the bad guys. And she even was inspired by someone that picked on her in high school. I think it was like, or someone in school had the last name Privet. That's the inspiration for the Dursleys.
Ooh.
And the whole thing of them is, yes, they have the personality traits, but then you go out of your way to keep saying that Petunia is horse-faced and that the other ones are fat. And it's just strange that it's like, oh, here's why they suck, is because they are large. And then also it extends to things that isn't necessarily derogatory, but it's just unnecessary. Like, why is the fat lady called the fat lady? And why is that her name? Mm. And the same thing with the fat friar. And that's just how you refer to them.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
Yeah. Like, fatness is not a personality trait. And it's not, like, inherently linked to anything except how your body's shaped. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I just wanted to note that, like, looking back, if I were to re-record these episodes, I would definitely, I think, point something out about that.
Yeah, I think it's gross. I feel like she also does the Crabbe and Goyle, too. It's like, oh, they're bad, so clearly they have to be fat, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if she actually wrote that or that's just the casting, and then that's me extrapolating, so apologies if that's what it is.
Mm.
But it is a thing, and I don't understand why J.K. thought that was cool.
I don't either. What is extremely cool, Violently Purple.
This is where
I meet the Night Bus.
Oh my goodness.
And you were like, and I was talking all about like, okay, so if you're a wizard and you just stick your arm with your wand in it into the street accidentally, do you summon the Night Bus? Like, why does the Night Bus drive and not operate?
Great question.
Extremely puzzling, but you were like, I don't really care. I just want to know what does Violently Purple mean? And like, there was, you know, birthed the slogan by which you are now known.
Wow. No, that's huge. That's fantastic. And I have now seen other instances. J.K. Rowling calls multiple things Violently Purple in the series.
Oh.
And then I think she also calls something aggressively orange. And then now anytime a color is described as being some sort of action adverb and then the color, people send it to me and it makes me very happy to see other writers call something drastically
sense,
red or whatever.
Like you look at like a construction vest and it is like attention-grabbingly yellow.
Something's hurt.
Yeah.
And this could just be me because I'm colorblind, but certain color combinations hurt my eyes to look at, so I get it.
I hope not the multitude, Em.
No, it's not. I have a very particular color blindness. I'm red-green color deficient. I struggle with shades of blue and purple. Hmm. So the multitude one, not a huge deal because it's clearly like purple, and then the cyan-y, teal-y type deal, that's okay. But if there was something that was mixing an indigo in that territory, in some lights it would look blue to me, and in some lights it would look purple to me. You know, like the Potterless logo? Hey, editing Mike here. Just wondering why past Mike, way, way past Mike who made the logo, decided to choose a color that he couldn't really tell how it looked and had to double check to make sure it looked good. I don't know either, man. Anyway, back to the podcast. The one that actually hurts my eyes is if you have bright, vibrant royal blue and then like bright red. Like if you have fire engine red mixed on
so, like,
a lighter-ish blue.
Like
if it was like a lighter one.
I see.
Not
I see what
so
you mean. Like
light.
They're clashing colors.
Yeah, it's just like if you have a red background with that bright blue of text where it's a little lighter than royal getting onto like cerulean, that hurts my eyes to read.
Well, it's not an invitation to send those memes to Mike, everybody, just so you know.
People are going to only send hate mail with that particular color combo to me now.
But let's get into some predictions. So,
this is where it started.
Yes. So you guessed that Peter was Scabbers. You only mentioned.
I did?
So you were like, I think that he's like taking a Polyjuice potion and became the rat. Like, I watched the movie a long time ago. I think I have that memory.
Okay.
And so I was like completely floored and unprepared before you said that you saw it in the movie. I was like, how the fuck did you know that? So I was just like extremely quiet, like trying to just keep my voice in.
I thought I was some like savant.
I really did.
Reading.
I did. And also, we foreshadow here about the Muggle Prime Minister knowing about the Wizarding World. With, like, Sirius Black being on the loose, they, like, mentioned that Sirius Black had Muggle wanted posters. Mm-hmm. And so you were sort of like, oh, like, I wonder what the overlap is. And I was like, you'll see, Potter.
That's still one of my favorite chapters.
Mine,
is
too.
The beginning of book 7, right?
It's Order of the Phoenix.
Order of the Phoenix. It's that early.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that chapter where it's from the Muggle Prime Minister, I thought was so cool. I loved it.
Me, too. And I wrote down here, like, it really is one of my favorite chapters in all of Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that we got that little nugget of it. Yeah. Also, we have Snape during the welcome feast when Lupin is first there. Mm-hmm. Snape is kind of like sending hate to both Lupin and Harry. And you're like, that's weird. And I was like, yeah, they must be lumped together in Snape's brain for some reason. Not knowing Remus's ties to Harry's dad.
Yeah.
And being basically his godfather. So, or in shipping, when you think Remus and Sirius should be together. Remus is like the honorary godfather to Harry, but you know, at minimum, he's like the honorary uncle.
Right.
We also have your Hermione theory.
Oh, yes.
Which
Triple Hermione's. I don't think I get enough shit for this.
I think it's really good.
I do think it's good. I guess I'm surprised that maybe that's why people don't make fun of it as much as Ludo Bagman spend more episodes.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised it isn't more brought up. But maybe it's because it's good. I still stand by it. I think it's great.
So to remind the listeners, Mike's theory here, when we were kind of seeing these foreshadowings of Hermione having a time turner where she like said she was in two classes that weren't at the same time, your theory was that she split herself somehow into three parts. Mm-hmm. And like she was particularly sassy in one class because that was like that side of her personality, particularly like kind of flat and sad in a different one. I thought it's fucking good theory. And the thing, though, I was shaken to the core because that predicts Horcruxes.
Oh,
splitting yourself.
Oh, I didn't
and
even realize.
Having different parts of your personality / soul in different places at the same time, like acting and being aware of themselves. I was like, oh no! You can't blow it now!
That's so funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
The personality thing is what really maybe did it is that she acted
she was
one
out of character.
Way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what made me think it was happening there. And then there was the whole like her backpack was filled to the brim with books. So you would have to think that if she's splitting, her stuff would split and then she would need all of them at the same time. Because,
oh, like a ghost copy, like the all of them would be wearing and carrying the same thing?
Right, just because like if it was time turners, and I wasn't even processing this at the time, but like if it was time travel, in theory, she would have enough time to not go to your locker, but like, I guess go back to the dorm. I think it's less imperative to have all the books on you the exact same time. If you are controlling time, you could have books stop at the Gryffindor locker room or the Gryffindor common room.
But the thing with time turner, as you know now from Cursed Child, like there are the physical you is still in both places. So if she were to go back to her locker, like current her in her fictional wizarding locker, everybody knows there's not lockers in Hogwarts. But you can't like cross the physical paths.
Okay.
So yeah, I thought I thought that was extremely prescient.
I accidentally
of you.
Foreshadowed Horcruxes. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I do like triple Hermione theory, though, because like at this point, like it's magic. So like who fucking knows?
And in book three, too, like, you know, the characters well enough to pick up on when they're acting out of character.
Right.
So I thought that was really neat. And especially with the Polyjuice hijinks, you know, that will happen.
Having
people like looking like one thing and acting differently to how you know them to act is now on the table. Mm-hmm. You also just mentioned Hogsmeade and was like, this is supposed to be really cool, I guess. And I was like, it is really cool, Mike.
Didn't go yet, though, right?
No, they're talking about it. And Harry, still to this day, I'm mystified why he couldn't just forge the damn signature. No one's going to know.
I don't. Yeah, that one, I'm pretty sure I brought that up in the podcast. And I don't understand. Like, I don't. No, literally no one would know. I never forged something for a field trip. But like, if you don't want to talk to Vernon Dursley, don't do it.
I know. And like, he's a muggle. It's not like you're doing a wizarding signature where there is like some kind of verifiable, like your voice speaks it. I don't know, man.
Man, this is similar to something Sydney brought up in the previous look back, is that there's no just like regular courses that they took. So they never took regular math. And I guess Harry would have had to have gone to school. And this is something they don't talk about. Like, I guess he would have had to gone to kindergarten through fourth grade.
Yeah.
So I guess at that point he would have learned regular muggle courses.
Fractions?
And stuff. But my, the joke that I'm getting here is, did he ever learn penmanship? Because for me, it was like, you learn to print in kindergarten, and then I learned to do cursive in third grade, and now they just don't teach cursive anymore.
Apparently not.
That seems so strange to me. What are people going to do when things are written in cursive, and you're a child, and you just look at it like, what's that? Because some letters don't look the same.
That's just a font. And kids read fonts. You know, I also can't copy like Comic Sans, you know, letter
Papyrus.
For letter. But people, I think, just view it now as like a stylized thing. And it's, anyway, I have hand problems, like kind of a arthritis type symptoms in my hand. Yeah. So for me, it's really nice to use cursive because I have to like clench the pen less. I have to clench and unclench less.
Yes.
So I'm glad I know cursive.
Right.
It is a myth that you have to sign your checks in cursive. You can print.
You can do whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want. Put a little paw print, little pad foot.
But signing in cursive, I've never seen a professional person write something out. I feel like I have to have seen something, but
it just feels fancy. It's just society. We just decided that.
It does feel good, though. Like when I sign something, there's a rhythm to it.
Oh,
like
yeah.
I hear the signature like whoosh, whoosh.
I feel like John Adams every time I sign something.
Oh,
where it's
yes.
just like, take that. Excuse me, Paul Giamatti as John Adams. That's
there
how
it
I
is,
feel.
There it is. It was something I did actively practice my signature when I was in fourth grade, you know, in case I became a professional athlete and I needed to sign a lot of baseballs.
Uh-huh. That makes complete sense to me. As a kid, I like made sure to date all of my papers because I was like, someday they'll want to see this.
I love it. Oh, man. Were there any other gems from the episode, or does that about cover it?
Yes, I have a couple movie follow-ups.
Ooh,
so
cool.
One is, I hope you love Emma Thompson as Madame Trelawney.
I do.
So have you seen the movie in the interim?
Yes, I have seen, at the time of recording right now, I've seen every film.
Nice. So I hope you liked Emma Thompson, because I still think she's wonderful.
She's great.
Trelawney
and she
sucks.
Plays it well.
Yeah,
I do still think the character Trelawney sucks. It's similar to how I feel with Snape and Alan Rickman. I love Alan Rickman. I think he's great. I think that's also part of the problem with him playing Snape, is how do you not love Alan Rickman?
Yeah.
And he made this character supposed to be so unlikable, lovable.
And that's another situation where the movie and book production informed each other, because the movies were cast before Deathly Hallows came out. And like, I forget the exact overlap, but there was overlap.
Yeah, I think it was between books 5 and 6 or between 4 and 5.
So they inform each other. Like he might have kind of brought a perspective and humanity to Snape that I know Rowling says that she was intending to go this way all along. But you can't like enjoy those things in a vacuum, you know? Mm-hmm. But that was one movie follow up. And then also, I miss Peeves so much. And in these chapters, we get very good Peeves. Mm-hmm. He calls Lupin Loony Lupin, which sucks in terms of like making fun of Lupin having a disability.
Right.
But is also nearly Lunar Lupin, which I think Peeves, my headcanon is that Peeves knows, obviously, because he's Peeves, like he knows everything.
He knows everything.
And he was like just saying to Lupin, like, I got your number. I can out you if I want. Like, it's Peeves is like an absolute chaotic evil genius.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's a real missed opportunity in the films.
Yeah, I understand why they cut Peeves from the films. It makes sense, but that doesn't mean I don't love Peeves, and I am very excited whenever they make the Harry Potter TV series and they can make multiple episodes per book.
Yes.
That's going to be one of the greatest additions, because right now we have no physical representation of Peeves except for he's in the Harry Potter iPhone game and stuff. And he's dressed up like
a computer game.
Yeah, and he's always dressed up like a court jester, which I never envisioned.
No, me neither.
Never envisioned that. No. So I would love to see a different representation of him, because it just, it's so jarring when you have nearly headless Nick in this fancy old school Shakespeare, whatever the tutu around the neck is called. And then you've got some dude that looks like a cheap jester outfit that you would buy for a Halloween costume.
Yeah.
So I mean, they
date from the same
Peeves.
Period, but I would love to see a like historically accurate version of that.
Yeah.
If we're gonna, you know, assume that they knew each other when they were pre-ghosts. Peeves is not a ghost, humans? A poltergeist? I don't know. Yes, humans.
Oh man. Well, until then, we'll just have to hold out hope for future Peeves.
Yeah, and I'll see you for Order of the Phoenix, bud.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, you get to keep on coming back.
Hey.
This is great. No, I was very appreciative that you came in on this episode, because I had someone else scheduled, and then they had to cancel on me, and then I tried to reschedule, and we've never spoken since.
No.
So, not like a bad negative thing. It's just our lives went different ways, and it was a Vine person, and then Vine died, so there was less crossover. But for this episode, like, I had everything scheduled, and I had Ashley, who was on the next episode, scheduled for that too, and that person dropped out like the day before, so I needed someone real quick, and I had to go to someone in a pinch, and I knew you could fill it out.
Yay.
So I messaged you, and within seconds you were like, yeah, I'll do it.
It is my favorite book too. So I'm so glad that I got to come on for it. I feel like we met so many important characters. Lupin, Sirius, Bill, like there are so many people coming in here that I really love, and like Aunt Marge, everyone's favorite, don't worry. No, but it was a very fun couple things to be on. I can feel myself getting more podcastery as my episodes go on. And I'm stoked to re-experience Order of the Phoenix with you.
It'll be good. Thanks so much.
You got it. Bye.
Thanks, Brandon. Okay, so now we move on to episode 9 of Potterless, which covered Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban chapters 9 through 12. And the guest that I had this time was someone whose childhood I destroyed with this podcast episode. It's Ashley Armstrong. Ashley, how's it going?
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I hope your childhood has potentially recovered.
It's still destroyed. It's ruined. So much time has gone by, but that.
2.5 years since I viciously murdered your childhood innocence.
Like, we've changed. We've grown. This was episode 9. Now you're like in the 80s of episodes, and Vine is dead, but also so is my soul still.
Well, aside from having a dead soul, you seem to be doing okay.
Yeah.
Music things seem to be going well, which is nice.
Yes, I'm excited. I just released my second single, and I'm working on my third.
That's why your single was called I Don't Feel Anything, because I murdered your soul.
You did. I haven't felt anything since I realized how careless wizards are, and I had to write about it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, looking back on this episode, was there anything in particular that stood out to you, that you found particularly funny? There was a lot of things we discussed.
Oh my gosh, yes. One was that you said you're going to write a book called Quit It, Quidditch. I'm still very much looking forward to that, especially after our conversation.
I hope so. I mean, this was the first true episode where the Quidditch rants began, because this was the Quidditch match where Harry gets attacked by the Dementors and everything. And this was where I really thought things were ridiculous. I posed the questions of, why is there no safety net? When Hermione does the charm to repel rain off of Harry, she only does it on his glasses. Why doesn't she do that over all of his stuff? And then this is the first time a timeout was ever called. And that was a whole new door of me hating Quidditch, because how come you don't just call a timeout right before the other team catches the snitch? Ugh.
Yeah, and you raised the best point. Like, these kids, they were 13 and they're flying around on brooms. None of them have seatbelts on. Like, there's not a net. And one key falls off. He falls off his broom and no one did a thing to stop him. So he broke his arm. And I don't know how he didn't just die on the spot. They're so young. It makes no sense. And when I watched it when I was younger, as I said last time, I was just like, oh no, Harry, look out. But now I'm like, there are things in life that are so much more important than that kid catching a snitch. I can't believe they took it so seriously that they were like, we don't care about the Dementors. Keep going.
It's so ridiculous. It is so wild that you just have to play through no matter what happens.
Yeah.
In the first book, you have Coral charming Harry's broom with hexes so that he can't fly straight and they don't stop the match. In the second book, you've got the bludger that has been cursed by Dobby to attack Harry Potter. They don't stop the match. In this book, in these chapters, you've got Dementors coming in. They don't stop the match. These are children. Like, this is not professional. It's not like this is the World Cup of Quidditch and they can't intervene. This is these are like fourth graders. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, this is like the equivalent of like me in elementary school. If I was playing soccer and an adult man came out onto the field with like a sledgehammer and just was swinging it wildly at me, and the coach was like, you better not stop. You better make that goal. This is huge.
You got to keep playing. That's just soccer.
Yeah, there's nothing more important than winning this soccer game.
Oh my goodness.
Just don't look at him.
Yeah.
I'm still not over it. Clearly, I'm mad.
This is truly the beginning of the Quidditch hatred. Leading up to this was, I'm not so sure about Quidditch. And this is where I really put my foot in the ground and said, fuck Quidditch, this is horrible. I can't stand this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't blame you now that I think about how young they were.
It's wild.
Like, back in the day, I was like, I wish I could play Quidditch. And now, if I get on a roller coaster, I'm like, you better make sure the seatbelt's safe. Like, I don't feel safe.
100%. I feel you.
Because I'm an old woman. I act like an old woman. I'm not getting on a broom.
No way. Anything else aside from me destroying Quidditch and just hating the sport's existence?
Biggest takeaway of all time. Also, the difference in the broom names.
Right.
It would be so easy for these kids to shame each other based on their brooms, which is another thing I never considered before. You got a kid rolling in with a Nimbus 3000, mm-hmm. and he's just going to think he's just the coolest kid on the block.
Right.
But that's not fair. The other one sounds like a Swiffer.
Yeah, because it's the clean sweep, which does sound like a cleaning product.
You're pretty much on a vacuum if you're on that.
Right. And what's weird is that this is a school-sanctioned sport, and you don't have school-sanctioned equipment. So if one house has people that are wealthier, like Slytherin, everyone's got Nimbus 2001s, that's not fair. And this is a school sport. It's very strange to me that you're allowed just to buy whatever broom you want. And if the Gryffindor team is poor, sucks to suck.
Yeah, I'm mad again now thinking about this. They're classist.
It is. It's so strange. I don't understand. This is a school sport. Why is classism ingrained in it?
Yeah, they should be like, you know, like back in the day when we all played like sports at school. I never played any of them well, but you know, like you have to play baseball and they're like, here's your bat. Like you weren't like, I brought my bat from home. It's like the baseball 5000. The other one's like, mine's called like wooden stick. I don't know. Like that doesn't seem right.
It's a very fair comparison.
Thank you.
That's how ridiculous the names were. Oh my gosh. Was there anything not Quidditch we talked about in this episode?
Yeah, I yelled a lot. And I think, you know, we did talk about Vine a bit. So it was still happening, right?
It did still exist. It hadn't died. It was in that weird phase where they said that Vine was going away at the beginning of 2017.
Oh, yeah.
And then it didn't actually. It, like, lasted on a couple months after.
Yeah, Vine was in, like, its limbo phase where everyone changed their handle to, like, follow me on Instagram
right.
with, like, their Instagram name.
Yep. Mine's still to this day, and I can't change it, is, like, IG/YT/TW:Shoob17. And I hate that I didn't get to change that before it was cemented in history, because now if I ever do share one of my old vines, it doesn't say watch Shoob's Vine. It says watch that shenanigans of a name, Vine.
Same. I was just like, self-promotion. Here we go.
It's what you had to do. It's what you had to do. I'm glad I started the podcast before Vine died, though, because that helped it have some sort of kickstart. Some people knew who I were before I started it.
Yeah, it's like popping off. I'm so fortunate that you had me on the show when you did. Like,
I mean, hey,
so
I'm
that
glad
now
you
I get to come back.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you were on.
You're stuck with me now.
I'm very happy to have you. I mean, of course, by accident, but I'm glad it worked out this way. It's just these four chapters somehow had the most like mind-boggling stuff. The things that made the least sense.
Yeah. And it just took me by surprise, like reliving them with you, like as you were reading them at an older age. Cause like when I read these things, I just took it all at face value. Is that the right saying? Like
yeah.
I just took it all and I was like, yep, a man broke in. Yep. They stayed there. Everyone's still in the school. Yep. A kid is getting chased by Dementors on a broom and no one's trying to stop it. Like, this all makes perfect sense to me.
Right. And that was my whole point. I'm glad this episode of the podcast shook out the way it did. It made me really happy because part of my thought process behind making the show and something I wanted to do was I hoped that as being an adult reading the books, I would be able to pick up on things that didn't make sense. And in the first 8 episodes of Potterless, it wasn't as significant. It was more me thinking things were a little nitpicky or me thinking I was some hot piece of shit because I was able to guess who the bad guy was or whatever. Like this one, I remember it made me very happy that this was kind of like the final element of the thesis statement of Potterless coming through. And I'm sorry that your innocence and your childhood had to die in its wake, but it did make me happy that my goal was accomplished in this episode.
Hell
so
yeah.
I appreciate
I'm glad that
it.
Happened in this one. I'm glad I got to be a part of that too. Cause yeah, it just like, it's just things that are so clearly off. And it's when you read it as a kid, you're just like, no, yeah, for sure. A man escaped from jail. And they're all just like, no, we have to be at school.
Yeah.
Like that just makes a lot of sense, but no, it doesn't.
Nope.
You kidding me?
Nope. It's very silly. But the final thing, I do also recall this being the first instance of McGonagall being very sassy, and that made me very, very happy.
I'm all about a sassy McGonagall. That is just,
we all
that's
love
an
her.
Energy that we should all try to channel.
Yes.
Sassy McGonagall. Like this weekend at the bar, I hope that everyone will just channel their inner sassy McGonagall. That's all I can ask of you.
Yeah, just
listeners.
Don't put up with anyone's shenanigans. And demand good drinks.
Yeah.
And if anyone is annoying to you, send them home. And for any of your friends that are too drunk and need some help, much like McGonagall did to Harry, give him a cookie.
Oh.
Give your friend a cookie if they're too drunk.
Yeah. And if anyone comes into the bar that looks like a Dementor or just a general bad guy, you're allowed to leave.
You totally are. You're well within your right to do so.
If someone breaks out of jail and comes to your bar, don't think you have to stay. Because that doesn't make any sense.
Oh, man. It doesn't at all. Well, I can't think of a better way to end this little look back, asking everyone to channel their inner McGonagall in the future. So, Ashley, thank you so much for coming back to talk about this. And thanks for being on the pod 2.5 years ago when it didn't exist. Like, you were the podcast, I don't know if it had been published. I think you were the last one I recorded before it ever went live. So you took a chance on being on a thing that was barely in existence, and I'm very appreciative of it.
Oh my gosh. Well, again, I'm appreciative of you having me on here. It's like been amazing to watch Potterless grow, and you're just like freaking killing it. So again, I'm glad you're just stuck with me because that episode 9 cemented.
It is. And it was great. And now we're both in New York and we hang out and it's very fun.
Yeah, we're going to the park this weekend.
I'm very excited to see you in like a couple days. It'll be fantastic.
Woo!
But until then, I'll catch you later and hopefully I can somehow bring your childhood back into existence.
Why, thank you.
Classic past, Mike. Murdering childhoods. Ugh, when will he learn? Well, speaking of learning, I'm going to teach you all about some great deals over at Wingardium Adridosa. Today's episode of Potterless is brought to you by Wix. Let's say hypothetically that you are the boy who lived, and you've just defeated your mortal enemy, and you want a way to write about your past experiences, but also you want to show off some great Quidditch highlights from back in the day, and you also want to put your resume somewhere so that you can start trying to become an Auror. There's so many things you want to do, you want to get it all out there, and you want to put it in one concise place. What are you going to do? You're going to make a website, and how are you going to make that website? With Wix. Wix is one of the simplest ways to create a website because they have over 400 templates that cover a wide range of possibilities for your website, whatever you're looking to go for, and they make it incredibly easy to customize, from animated backgrounds to still images to uploading your own versus using images and colors that they already have. Wix templates are incredibly customizable, they're super intuitive to use, and even for someone who is fresh out of wizarding school that has no idea how the internet works, they can make it simple for that person to make a website. I use Wix for all of my podcasts' websites. It was so simple to create them, it is so easy to maintain them. Kelly helped me make both of them, and she has very particular style choices that she wanted to see through. And there are other website providers that did not provide nearly as much customization, and Wix allowed her to do every little tiny minute detail that she wanted. And that's why we went with them, and that's why they look so pretty. And if you want to make a website of your own with Wix, it's great. You don't have any time limit on making your free trial. And then when you want to upgrade to the full version and get things like a custom domain name or email features or all the other goodies that Wix Premium offers, you can get 10% 10% off as a Potterless listener. If you go to potterlesspodcast.com/Wix and click the link at checkout, you will get 10% off your Wix premium website. So go to potterlesspodcast.com/Wix, click that link, get 10% off, and make a website that encapsulates your full Harry Potter awesomeness today. And now you'll hear words from a few sponsors who make it feasible for me to be a full-time podcaster. Some of these ads will be read by me, others of them won't. The ones that aren't are inserted locally, so if you live internationally, don't be surprised if you hear an ad in your country's native language. And once those ads are complete, we'll get back to this episode of Potterless.
This episode of Potterless is brought to you by Arena Club. Now, if you listen to this podcast, it should be no secret that I am both a sports nerd and more of a traditional nerd. And when you think of these two types of nerddom, there's one thing that links them together, and that is card collecting. Whether you are looking to buy, trade, sell, or display a card collection of sports cards or Pokemon cards, you should check out Arena Club. ArenaClub.com is the place where you can do all of these things. I have recently made a purchase on the marketplace. I got Lieutenant Surge's Raichu, which is my favorite Pokemon, and I didn't even know that there was a Lieutenant Surge version of the Raichu. So that is a card that I now have, and it's not just some digital thing. I can have this card physically mailed to me. So there's a bunch of cool stuff you can do with Arena Club, including their slab packs. If you have ever done any sort of card collecting, you know that ripping packs or repacks can be a zero transparency type of thing where you're just hoping you get some sort of cool card. But what's nice about the slab packs with Arena Club is that you have full transparency. You see what available cards are there, what your percentage of getting them is, what the gradings are. So it is not a complete black box. You're going into this knowing what cards you might get. And I've been using Arena Club and it's pretty cool. It's very easy for me to look up different cards. I can favorite them, see what I want, and then whenever I want them shipped to me, I can get them shipped to me, and then I'll have the physical versions of them. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/potterless. Wow, that is a wild offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack is $40 right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/potterless for 10% off your first purchase. So if you want to collect some cards or rip open some packs in a more transparent way, whether you're a sports nerd or a Pokemon nerd or all sorts of nerds like me, you can use Arena Club today.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Okay, so now we move on to episode 10 of Potterless, which covered Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban chapters 13 through 16. I was joined by the lovely creative director of Mischief Management. It's Jordan Edwards. Jordan, how's it going?
Hey, glad to be back.
Yeah, glad to have you back. So you responded to Amanda McLaughlin's Facebook post, I believe, when she was like, hey, my friend's going to do this Harry Potter podcast. Who's down?
Yeah, and then Amanda told me. Who likes Harry Potter and can be on a podcast? And I was like, yeah, I fit both of those requirements.
It was perfect. It was great. She was like, yeah, he works for Mischief Management. I was like, what's that? And she was like, they make LeakyCon. I was like, so his job is Harry Potter? And
yep.
She said, yes.
It surely is.
So listening back to this episode, what kind of stood out? What was fun? What were the gems?
Well, for me, it was trying not to say things that would spoil you for all of the magic to come, right?
Oh,
so
good.
I was trying hard not to rag too hard on Peter Pettigrew as Wormtail because you hadn't discovered that he was him yet. I remember as I was listening back, I was like, oh yeah, I'm really dodging a lot of these things because I don't want to spoil you.
Thank you. I think this was a really tough one. This is where it starts to get a little hard spoiler-wise.
Yeah, well, also it's like gloomy and sad, these chapters. So
right.
I remember we ended, we're like, oh, well, that was gloomy, but no, it was just fun. It was fun to listen to. Basically, it was me trying not to spoil you. It was me honestly not knowing enough about Quidditch to have a strong opinion, and you have a very strong opinion.
I did, and I still do.
To be honest, as I was first reading the series, I would just thumb through the Quidditch chapters and like see who wins in the end, but they are very long, and sports is not necessarily my forte, and so I would skip most of it.
I don't remember, but I'm looking at the description of this episode. I did write that we discuss one thing that I actually like about Quidditch, which is incredibly rare.
It's very rare. So we were talking about the fact that I want to say it was something to do with the goalposts.
Oh, that there's three of them?
Yeah. Basically, I think you didn't quite understand how, like, why it is a challenge to block penalty.
Oh, yes.
Because I think you thought it was a tiny little, like, hoop.
I thought you just had to throw it through one of them. And right. I thought that was very easy to sit in front of one ring.
No, there are three, and they're quite large. So I think you did end up enjoying that tiny little piece of Quidditch.
That is good. That's fun. I also, when I play soccer, I play goalie because I do not know how to play soccer very well, but I can jump in front of moving objects.
You'd be a keeper.
If
you were ever to get shanghaied into playing a Quidditch game,
I would be very down to play real human muggle Quidditch.
Yeah,
I was
offered
to do so at LeakyCon Dallas, where they were playing in the expo hall.
Yeah, did you watch some? It can get brutal.
That's a thing. I watched some and it looked really fun, and then I noted that they were playing on like a polished concrete floor.
Yep.
Which is not grass,
so I decided to pass. No. Yeah, it's super fun. We've had Quidditch come to LeakyCon for multiple years, and it's basically operated by the International Quidditch Association. Like, they set up everything, and they run, like, training camps and leagues and tournaments and stuff. It's super fun to watch. I've never played because, like I said, sports is not really my thing, but it is enjoyable to watch. And there was one year where it was the sort of the final, and it was the staff of LeakyCon versus the staff of the Harry Potter Alliance, like,
ooh,
going head to head in a major Quidditch game. And it got rowdy.
Good, as it should.
Yeah, but it was super fun to be a part of it. So
I would love to play in real life. I will figure out some way to make it happen.
Yeah.
I would love to get invited to some sort of Quidditch tournament of sorts.
Yeah, well, they have the Quidditch Cup every year, so you'll have to see where it is in the world and see if you can go.
Yeah, maybe I could sweet talk my way into Ludo Bagmaning and being the announcer for it.
Yes. See, that makes perfect sense. I think you would be great at that role.
Oh, thank you. Similarly, I would love for my Harry Potter notoriety to get big enough to where I could get jokingly casted as Ludo Bagman in one showing of Cursed Child, because he's in it for like a little, and it's only audio and he's not on stage, and it wouldn't be that hard, I don't think. My whole job is talking.
And they've sold the script, so basically just record it and send it to them.
Oh, yes.
You know all the lines.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that will be my audition. Oh, yes, we're going to make it happen.
Perfect.
The other thing that I do know from this episode, which I remember, and it has been reminded to me in all caps in the episode description, is that this is where we argued why the hell didn't they send the kids home after it was found that Sirius was on campus, which I know he's innocent, but as it stands,
in
the
moment,
dude was
a
convicted murderer of 13 people, and they didn't send the children home. That is wild.
Yeah, the sort of ever-present questionable Hogwarts security. I think it all boils down to, but there would be no plot.
That is really what it is. It's just so silly. And this was one of the things, I'm glad it happened, because when I'm describing the podcast to people and they ask what's it about, one of the examples I always give for when I say that I point out things that don't make sense, the number one example is always, why didn't they send the kids home after they found out that Sirius was on campus?
And there it was,
Ugh.
It's fun to speculate. Like, Hogwarts has been, like, for years there have been injuries and near-death experiences, so, you know, it's a dangerous place. I don't know. You know what you're signing up for when you go there.
Yeah, it truly is. I guess that's just a given of the school. I'm sure that if there is any sort of liability waiver that you have to sign as a student there, it is quite lengthy.
Multiple scrolls of parchment.
You got to sign your life away pretty much. I mean, and right after, the next year, they weren't that great when they had the big Triwizard tournament where, you know, Cedric died. So.
He did do, Yeah, there's a lot of drama, but honestly, I'd still go.
I mean,
I'm still waiting on my Hogwarts letter because, man, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, the pros just simply outweigh the cons.
I think so.
Sure, you might get murdered, but you can do magic.
But, you explore this awesome ancient castle, which has always appealed to me.
It's very, very true. Well, Jordan, thanks so much for being on this episode
when. It's so fun to listen back, and, like, you were such a young little Potter baby back then.
Yes, I would say in Potter years, I was young.
You were quite
young. This was, like, 2.5 years ago, which feels like a long time, but
a lifetime ago in Potter years.
Yeah, I was young in my knowledge of Harry Potter. Like, I wasn't even halfway through the third book.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. And now here I am. Yeah, now I've gone from like, oh yeah, LeakyCon sounds cool, to in talks with the programming department about my involvement at each convention happening this year.
Yeah, we were so glad to have you. It was so fun to see you guys up on the main stage. So
it was a blast. It was cool for me. It was something I always wanted to do, and I'm glad that we got to make it happen. And it was just such a relief to be spoiler-free at a LeakyCon.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
And I could go to things, and I could participate in things, and I didn't have to ruin things for the panelists that I shared a booth with.
You can talk about Harry Potter, but only up to halfway through book three.
I literally had to do that at a couple of things, and I feel so bad for it. But
not anymore.
No, it was so fun being at LeakyCon, and we got to talk more than for 5 seconds, which was great.
I know.
At the LeakyCon, not this most recent one, but the one before, we literally just passed each other when I was on my way to the panel.
It was so funny because I'd never actually met you. I had only seen like your avatar from social media, mm-hmm. and like I walking by, I was like, that hair looks familiar.
I believe our entire interaction was complimenting each other's hair and then moving on.
And then moving on to further Harry Potter things. Yep.
Exactly. Sounds but we actually got to speak words to each other last year, or this past year, which was very fun.
Very fun. Yeah. Well, you'll have to come to the next one. So we have two Harry Potters as it stands in the calendar today. We have two LeakyCons coming mm-hmm. up soon. The next one's going to be in Boston.
I will be there.
We're celebrating our 10th year, which is crazy.
That's nuts.
So LeakyCon first started in 2009 and we were in Boston. And so we're excited to be going back and celebrating our 10th year there again. And then we just announced not too long ago that mm-hmm. we're going to Orlando in 2020. So we're celebrating Harry Potter's birthday.
Oh, nice.
July 31st through August 2nd in Orlando at the Orlando Convention Center. So we're excited to be going back. We've done a couple LeakyCons in Orlando, but it's been a few years. So we're really, really excited. That place is so huge and so much fun to be. So
I am stoked. I will be very excited. Obviously, Harry Potter World is right there. Very excited to do an episode from, you know, just during the line at Hagrid's ride. So it'll be the first 8-hour episode of Potterless.
Yes. Yep. Plenty of time. Plenty of time.
But it'll be great. But yeah, Jordan, thanks so much for being on in the past. Thanks so much for being on now. And I'll see you very soon. I'll see you in like a month and a half at LeakyCon Boston.
Sounds good. See you then, man.
All right, see ya.
Take care.
All right, so to round up this look back, we are going to now move on to episodes 11 and 12 of Potterless, which covered Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, chapters 17 through 22. It was guest starring Multitude Zone, Julia Schifini. Julia, how's it going?
Hi, Mike. I'm so proud of you. You finished those children's books. It's incredible.
It only took 3 whole years.
Only 3 years, but you were pacing yourself. Don't discredit yourself.
Thank you. I like to think that it was harder to read them in 3 years because I had to keep stopping myself every time.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. So if anything, it's more impressive that it took me that long to read the books.
It's a good excuse.
I'm going to take that to the grave. So listening back to these episodes, what was fun? What stood out to you?
I think I got kind of the first episodes where you were really excited about the series.
Yes, because correct me if I'm wrong, but the Shrieking Shack chapter happened in these episodes.
Yeah, this is what we started with, was with Ron getting pulled into the Shrieking Shack by Sirius the Grim, etc.
Yeah.
So that's just like the pinnacle of like where the books get dramatic as hell.
100%. And this is something that very often people ask me, you know, what was the turning point in the books? Like, when did you actually start liking them? And this was it. Mm-hmm. So I think this was really fun to have you on for that, because this is like the exact moment where I went from like, okay, yeah, these books are fine. Like, I'm having fun making fun of these books, to, oh no, these books are good.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was really exciting for me.
It's when children's books can surprise you.
Yeah.
You know that it's actually somewhat good writing.
Right. Yeah. The Shrieking Shack chapter really showed JK's prowess as a writer, and mm-hmm. that's what makes me so sad that the movie botched it so horribly.
Yeah, it wasn't great. Man.
Okay, so I actually started liking the books here, so that's mm-hmm. fun. Took me 11 episodes, but there we go.
Especially because this was like the first time you and I had ever really talked.
Right.
Was on the podcast, and I listened to the first couple episodes. I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna like really enjoy this, because he didn't seem super into the books. But you were like fully on board by that point. I'm like, all right, sweet. Hell yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, we had slacked a little bit because Multitude was becoming a thing. Mm-hmm. But I do recall that immediately after recording this, we had a wonderful Slack history of, as I was reading the books, just like talking to you about them in Slack and being like, yo.
Yeah, you would just like, you'd be like, I just finished this chapter and what the fuck? And I would also message you when new episodes would come out and be like, hey, Mike, so you pronounced this wrong. And then I stopped doing that because the internet did it for me.
Yeah, it was pretty great that, you know, Twitter took over for that role so that you didn't have to, just giving you one less thing to worry about.
Saving me so much time.
Oh, man. So aside from me liking it, was there anything individual that just kind of stood out? Anything that was funny?
Yeah, I mean, I jotted down a couple of points where you asked me like, oh, I don't know if this is going to happen. And I was like, I have to be really coy about this because it totally does happen. And Mike guessed it. So the first one was the foreshadowing of Peter Pettigrew coming back. Because you were like, Dumbledore is laying it on thick that Peter Pettigrew is going to be like an ally in the future that owes Harry a favor.
Yeah.
Which kind of happens.
Yeah, barely. I was really expecting, and I'm
a
glad
bigger
that,
thing.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm glad this didn't happen because to me, this was just the classic henchman trope where the main bad guy is mean to the henchman and they zoom in on their face just kind of being grumpy every now and then. And then at the end, they ask them, henchmen do this, and then they go no, and then they help. Like, I thought it was gonna be that
classic Disney movie. I got you.
Yeah, so I'm actually very glad that that's not what happened, but I never could have guessed choked self to death with metal silver hand. Wouldn't have guessed that.
I think it's also kind of telling of Voldemort too, because it's kind of insinuating, yeah, he didn't really trust Pettigrew. He knew that he was a turncoat, and he knew that like at any given moment he was going to betray him, so giving him a hand that the moment that he hesitates instantly kills him, tight leash, and I like it.
I gotta say, Helen Martin and I talked about this. It's brutal and it's rough, but you have to respect Voldemort's magic here. Like, obviously Voldemort is very evil, obviously he's terrible and no one should like him at all, but he's a good villain at certain points, and running a tight ship of the Death Eaters with this, that's incredible that he was like, I will give you this hand, but the second you have a little tiny thought about not fully supporting me, your ass is dead.
Yeah. Just like any inkling that there's going to be a moment of pause, a moment of betrayal, just
right.
Straight up murder. It's very good, though. I really like that.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty fun.
One of the other ones that we talked about in the episode was you being like, well, it's nice because Gilderoy Lockhart's never coming back.
He barely does.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's a moment of catharsis, too. I feel like that you see him and he's still in that same state, and you know that that just desserts is still there, but also kind of shows you that the world is still really shitty because no one really knows besides Harry, Ron, and Hermione all the dumb shit he did, and there's still people writing him fan mail and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like the King Jelly Bean from Rick and Morty thing, where no one else knows about his evil deeds to preserve his legacy.
I'm going to smile and nod because I don't really watch that show.
It's a good show that has now a bad fandom around it, and it makes me feel awkward watching it because it is a quality television show, and then a bunch of awful white male dudes ruined it.
Is it like one of those things like with BoJack Horseman where the white men look at this and be like, ah, yes, this person acts the way I do, so it's okay, when really it's supposed to be teaching you that the way that this person acting is unacceptable?
Yeah, I don't okay. I think it's not, it's I get that comparison with BoJack. It's not exactly that. It's more of just like, it's a cartoon show for adults that is well written and isn't afraid to go over the edge a little bit. And I think that's fun. It has a like a mix of comedy that's like, whoa, pushing the envelope. But then also, oh, wow, this show can get deep at times, which is fun. It's kind of like if like an emotional, raunchy stand-up set was turned into a show where you've got like crude humor mixed with emotional stuff. The problem is just, for whatever reason, the fandom got like really excited about it, and the whole like McDonald's chicken nugget sauce thing was,
yeah,
that was just weird. So I still really like the show, but now I have to be more quiet about it, and I will never purchase Rick and Morty merchandise.
It's like Dan Harmon, though, right?
Yeah, and he's super cool about it, and he's very outspoken when all of the chicken nugget sauce was going down. He was very vocal saying, yo, everyone be chill.
Watch Community, it's better.
Very good.
I stand by it. Anyway,
but anyway,
Harry Potter.
Yes. Anyway, Harry Potter. Yes, it is sad that no one knows Gilderoy's true evil, but this is something that has been done in other media as well.
Yes, that's true. We also touched upon one of your favorite lines was the sick burn that Dumbledore puts on Trelawney at the end of the chapter.
Oh, which one? What does he say?
It was the, that raises her total of real predictions to two.
Oh, it's so good. You're
like, that's a sick burn. I'm like, yeah, but you don't know what the first one is, and it's bad.
Oh, right. Jeepers creepers. Wow, yeah. Wow. Still, that is fun. Two episodes prior of Potterless was the first instance of sassy McGonagall, and now episode 12, the first appearance of sassy Dumbledore. So not only does JK get better at just writing books, but she makes her characters a lot sassier, which is very fun.
Increase of sassiness. I appreciate it.
It's wonderful.
And then the last thing I wanted to talk to you about was having the perspective of finishing the books now and having more information about the Marauders, the kind of feud between them and Severus Snape and how your view of it changed.
Yeah, it makes way more sense.
Yeah, I mean, because we were talking about it in the episode where Remus is like, ah, yeah, Severus was jealous of James's Quidditch skills. I'm like, that's not it at all. That was never what it was about.
Is that a blatant lie from Lupin, or is that Lupin being ignorant?
I think it's a blatant lie from Lupin.
Yeah, okay, that's what I would think.
He knows that Snape is in love with Lily. Everyone knew that. That was the whole thing.
Yeah. I'm honestly, thinking about it, I'm surprised that no one gave Harry crap for Snape having a big crush on Lily.
Yeah.
It seems like a Malfoy pull. Like, it feels like something that Lucius would have told Draco, since Malfoy seems to have all of the dirt on Harry and his parents and everything like that. I'm surprised no one was like, oh yeah, potions teacher's got the hots for your dead mom.
You know what? I think that after the events where basically Lily cut him off and cut all ties, no one believed that he was still in love with her.
True.
And that's the reason why he ended up betraying the Death Eaters for the Order, is because Lily.
Yeah, right. And then I guess that's a good point, because if more people thought he still loved her, I feel like Lucius or other Death Eaters would have raised some eyebrows when Snape was in the Death Eaters. They would have thought, wait a second, this doesn't make sense.
Absolutely. So I think that they were like, oh, he's fully on our side. He doesn't want to be associated with that mudblood.
Look how
anymore.
Greasy his hair is. He has to be evil.
God, just the fucking worst. But I also think it's really interesting, too, because if you like now know Sirius's backstory and know that he's basically a blood traitor, I think that increases the disdain that Snape had for him, because Snape, coming from a half-blood family, probably wished that he came from a place that Sirius did.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because I need to go back and read the little Snape flashback that we get, because they give us the feeling that he blames a lot of his bad upbringing on his dad, who was a muggle. So yeah, that could be interesting, where maybe he has this thought of, oh, if I was pure blood, everything would be fine.
Yeah,
so he's got envy towards Sirius in a different way.
Yeah,
I don't know if Snape has anything against Pettigrew, but he has specific reasons to hate James and Sirius and to dislike Lupin because of the werewolf thing. So
yeah,
it's just an awful combination of friends to have a rivalry with Snape, as he hates them all in different ways.
Yeah, I mean, James comes from a similar background, but you know, unlike Sirius, didn't kind of betray his family ties and whatnot, but James came from a pureblood family, a rich pureblood family, and like was well-to-do and whatnot, but also they weren't like associated with the Death Eaters, so that's probably a whole other thing as well.
Well, yeah, and the whole Sirius thing is that his whole family was Slytherin through and through, and he broke through, and Snape is a Slytherin, and you wouldn't want someone to defect against your team, even if you don't see the shortcomings of that team. Yeah. You're going to get mad at anyone that's switched fandoms, so to speak.
Yes. So I think it's really interesting to kind of have that perspective from that chapter now versus what you know about the Marauders in the future. So
no, that's super fun looking back. That's really good. Was there anything else?
I really enjoyed pulling all of the reasonings behind the names for you. That's always fun for me.
Oh, no, that's good. That was very fun. This was a fun instance of Potterless where, since we're only 11 episodes in, I think every guest brought something different to the table. And I remember the reason you were on for these chapters is I asked you what your favorite parts of the book was. And you did mention that, oh, the ending of book three is really good. And then you said, and there's some mythology stuff I can talk about. And I was like, good, perfect, perfect. So it was a fun crossover of spirits and Potterless in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, when you name your child Wolf Wolf, basically, in Latin, you get what you get.
I was going through old emails yesterday where people will reach out to the Potterless account, and I'll just go through them in binges. And someone a couple months back, before I had like talked about this on any episode of Potterless, was like, hey, so I know Julia mentioned a little bit about the Wolf Remus stuff, but his name is really wolf, 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 and gave mm-hmm. like five explanations about like what Lupin means. Also, the word Lupinus can mean moon, thus wolf. It was so many things.
His mother's maiden name is Howell.
Oh, really?
It's H-O-W-E-L-L.
Oh my goodness, JK.
He was just like, you just meant to be a werewolf. Like, that's... if you met that person in real life, and you're like, how are you not Wolfman? I don't understand.
That's also the fun thing that JK can do with magic. This is what makes me trying to guess things so hard, is that I have no idea what's happening next. So you can lay things on super thick. And unless you're very astute, which maybe you were able to do, or people who know a lot of stuff about wolf mythology would be like, wait a second, I see it. But you can lay stuff on super thick and then no one will get it. And then looking back after you know it, you just think, oh my goodness, it was right there.
I mean, buddy, I was like 9 when I read these books. That's the so thing. Yeah. I didn't know shit. I mean, I knew a little bit about mythology, but I didn't know like, ah, yes, Remus, Lupin.
Welcome to
wolf,
episode
wolf.
One of Spirits. It's me, Julia Shavini.
Oh, man.
Adorable.
Well, Julia, thanks so much for being on these episodes way back in the day. It was very fun. This was a good time where you were the first of this, but it kept happening where I would have multitude people on that I didn't really know at the time. And then I feel like being on Potterless kickstarted the friendship, which was really cool. And now look how far we've come now.
I know.
Hanging
so
out
far.
And talking regularly.
Heck
so.
Yeah.
Thanks for being on back in the day. Thanks for bringing a new perspective to the series. And thanks for coming on, you know, for this little look back episode.
Of course. It was my pleasure.
Yeah. And I'll be chatting with you multiple times because you are a return guest.
Yes. I'll see you at Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah. Should be good. I'll see you later.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Hey, Editing Mike here. That's going to be the end of this look back episode. I hope you enjoyed. Thank you so much for listening. And as they say in the wizarding world of Harry Potter, as they look back fondly upon their past work for the past couple of years, a wizard on! If you're all caught up on Potterless and you're looking for more podcasts to check out, I highly recommend listening to the other shows from Multitude. Multitude shows include Horse, Spirits, Join the Party, and our new show for Multicrew members, Head, Heart, Gut. Multitude shows cover a wide range of topics, but they're all centered on people talking about the things that they love and being passionate about them. So if you enjoy my passion towards Harry Potter now, me overcoming my grumpiness, you will enjoy that passion of all the Multitude podcasts. And if you want to learn more, you can head to multitude.productions. Potterless was created by Mike Schubert. It is hosted by Mike Schubert. It is edited by Mike Schubert. It is produced by Mike Schubert, as well as Vicky Garcia, Aaron Johnson, Jesse Horgan, Natalie Klobuchar, Klaus Serlopu, Frank Chiodo, Marchismo, Samantha Rose, Juan Sanfilio, Abid Ahmed, Rosemary Daj, Maria Lisa Sikin, Romina Rivadeneira, Camille Dock, Russell Dunk, Audra, Eleanor Curlin, Sydney Cawthorn, Rosa and Batamana, Nikita Power, Taylor Armstead, Ali Madsen, Amelia Krauss, Sean Montag, Sarah Nink, Ben Silver, Rachel Guthrie, Zachary Pulido, Orchid Grower, Vivian the Owl, Takari Arant, Haley Hastings, Moster, Angelina Wither, Ross Marie Heise, Alex Bisholta, Brian Williams, Caitlin Sullivan, Grace Riggles, Raul Pineda, Ingen Odstadter, Mari Wynn, Alex Consulver, John Cotker, Noel Basilet, Tao, Emily Tyrell, Robin Fernandez, Will Barrington, Liz Bigelow, Mariah Noah, Brandon Pickens, Sarah Inslin, Claire Spencer, Rory Collier, Gloria Gillum, Sarah and Patrick Donifon, AlleyCap29, Hallie Bowen, Veronica Bartova, Kevin Harnoy, Lotta Bartova, Noah Tracy Toya, Colleen, Jennifer Marklew, Frida J. Svedson, Ivor Peterson, Naomi Guglielmo, Tyler Latshaw, Summer Rathel, Heather Fleischman, Vera Coltham, Carrie D. Bagson, Andrea Kroc, Elisa Grieven, Lynn Walker, Cameron Watkins, Justin Montero, Christine Saunders, Jacob Parrish, Toothless Walnut, Maya Gray, Mark Body, Polly Burge, Surjan Thanmegupta, Netta Atabani, Tumnus Moran, Remy Fontaine, Matt Furley, Sarah Shecker, Nona VM, Zina Rosnowski, Colleen Mage, Harlan Haskins, Sheldarb, Noelia, Addy, Brian, Jenny Campione, Nikki Harris, Cara Hamilton, Dorcas, Courtney Hemwood, Kine, Amanda Alfred, Sabrina, Alicia McLaren, Kafir Shaltiel, Lindy Plackey, Martha Madueno, Benjamin Desmond, Skymart 6, Sarah Shedder, Peter Vostenak, Marta Morrison, Stephanie Magnuson, Justine Wade, Aaron Richter, CJ Ochoco, Eileen Gazesh, Violet Sullivan, Kat Yowell, Lindsay Towning, Fielding Lee, Keegan Curran, Miranda Manning, Gail Ann, Mr. Folk, Heather McMillan, Adam Bryan, Christina Walton, Maya, Zachary Davis, Kieran, Heaven, Callahan, Anderas, Christy, Lily Leader Williams, Wire Warrior 4976, Floor Sake, Sarah Scarsfjord, Georgia, Vile Donner, Itzel Ime Ayala, Mitch Williams, Al Vega, Peter Wyckoff, Candy Kane, Skyla Lilly, Adele Ryan, Professor Threat, Kelsey Ulesian, Ellie Hoskovchova, Kelly Maynard, Aluban Maleo, Akinwande, Lena Karen, Daniel Fulkerson, Rebecca Todd, Lee Lili, Elizabeth Christofferson, Abby, Lika Faccio, Michael David Yordi, Nice Earmuffs Potter, Did Your Mum Make Them For You, Cara Hoyer, Tiffany Cottrell, Kelly Otilio, Nadia Vansgaard, Andrea, Courtney Telfer, Galactic Sparkle Cat, Carrie Crumpler, Jamie Kingston, Lissy, Camilo Garcia, Connie Bienkowski, Janet Noel Detilli, Mary Matille, Imo Sarah,
Jennifer Wendt, Mylan Ilstad Johansson, Anastasia Blake, Jaden Allman, Nedry OS, Matt Barger, Riley Lane, Will Huser, Zephyr Lawrence, Artemis Peters, Brett Clausen, Connor Snell, Samantha Lenz, Kayla M. Simino, Lauren Wainwright, Aurora Fruhoff, Emma Clark, Hermione Snape, Liar Nakam, Megan Dick, Out of Context 69, Liam McCormick, Milena Brandy, Marco Zepeda, Ella Robertson, Hannah Zeters, Courtney Victoria McCormick, Marie Rieger, Ashton Gabrielson, Steamed Nuggets, Can't I Potter? And yes, I can. Web design by Kelly Beckman, audio assistance from Brandon Grugel, and the music is by Bettina Campomanes. If you want to find Potterless on social media, you can at facebook.com/potterless, twitter.com/potterlesspod, instagram.com/potterlesspodcast, and reddit.com/r/potterless. For any and all information about the show, you can go to potterlesspodcast.com. For bonus content, you can go to patreon.com/potterless, and for merchandise, you can go to bit.ly/merch on. If you want to tell someone about the show or leave a review about it online, that helps so much, and thanks for listening. Until next time, as they say in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, a wizard on!
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.